Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we are back for another episode.
Shock Therapy Live, we do it every Wednesday at 9 a.m. And if you miss any part of the show, well, you can always podcast it, or you can catch it Sunday night at 7 p.m. We re-air this bad boy.
Yeah.
So if you're listening right now and it's Sunday night, welcome to the re-air. If you want to ask a question, call us on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm out of the space-time continuum.
I actually talked to several people that listen Sunday nights.
Yeah.
I talked to a few of them, and they all said they really enjoyed it, and the questions were good. And
we're freaking them out right now because we're talking about them in the future, but really it's the present for them.
Yeah.
Outside of time.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have those days? Maybe not. Maybe because you just are so awesome. But I have those days where I tried really hard. Like when someone says something and I really want to be funny and I try to think of something and I can't. And then I just yeah.
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 You don't always have to be funny.
I know.
I think of the proverb that says even a fool is thought wise if kept silent. You know what I mean? So it's like on the times where you just can't be funny, you're just like right on. And then they're like, man, Nate, he's so wise. That dude. He just always knows the right thing to say. But if you're like me and you just talk, at first it's like, that guy's charming. And then everybody's like, that guy's an idiot. So,
see, I think, though, that I'm like that so often that when I am quiet, people don't say he's so wise. They say, what's wrong with Nate?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's really funny. Like, sometimes, like, I'll be really introverted. I just want to be chill and I'll just be, you know, whatever. Hey. And people always come up, hey, what's wrong? Are you okay?
This is your response. Hey, today is one of those be still and know that I'm God days, and I'm just taking in.
No, I think my policy now is when someone comes up and says, I'm just going to go.
MyStaticRadio.com for the webcam to see this fake crier over here with his crocodile tears. The phone number is 505-338-3700, and if you would like to hang out with us this morning and got a question for the show, give us a call. We want to hang out with you. We got a few emails that we need to get to. You can send us an email if you would like to keep it anonymous at studio@mystaticradio.com. Which one do you want to tackle first? We got a few anonymous emails this morning. I printed them out.
I don't know. Surprise me like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
We got an anonymous email from a person that says, hey, guys. All right, so I've been talking to this girl for about 9 months now, and I really care about her. I wanted to be with her and be her boyfriend, but it's becoming more and more clear that this is something I should not do. Without getting too much into details, she does things that aren't girlfriend material, and she's struggling with things like cutting every now and then. And I feel like it's obvious she just needs a friend now more than a boyfriend. She needs prayer because I don't know if anything else will work. I don't want to lose her and what we have, but it's just hurting me when she doesn't do what's right and hides things from me. Anyways, I want to be there for her, and I just need some advice or encouragement. Help. Thanks, guys.
Well, I would say this. I don't think there's anything wrong with being friends and staying friends until the Lord shows you that it's time to move on past that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one of the best things that you can do is remain really good friends and continue to build into one another in that aspect. And then if God truly does lead it to another position, another area, then you can just follow where He leads. So I don't think if there's anything wrong with waiting on God. There's no need to force it. I also want to just give you a word of caution. Don't cut her off entirely.
Right.
Because it sounds like she might struggle with depression. She obviously struggles with cutting. And those are usually things that come about when you have a poor self-image of yourself. So the worst thing you could do for her would be to cut her off. And when she says why, well, because you do this
aren't
or you do that.
Material.
That's going to just further destroy her self-image, and she's going to plunge deeper into that. What she really needs is she needs someone in her life who's going to love her regardless of who she is or what she's done. Someone is going to come alongside her, affirm her, tell her she's beautiful, tell her she's God's daughter and that she deserves to be treasured. And that's really, with anyone who struggles with cutting or anything of the sort, that's kind of the only foolproof medication is love. And I know it sounds cheesy, but it truly is. Those people need to be showered, in just a rain of love, and they need to be told that they're beautiful, told that they're worth something, told that that God has a plan for them. I've counseled numerous people who have struggled with cutting, and whether guys or girls, the best thing that I've done, and I've seen, you know, wonders worked out through that, is just to tell them what they're worth in God's eyes. Tell them how awesome they are. Tell them how great they are. If it's a guy, I'll tell them, man, you're so awesome. It's so much fun hanging out with you. You've got such a great personality. You know, whatever they're into, you're so good at that, man. You should pursue that. You should keep trying to do that. If it's a girl, I'll tell them in a very fatherly way, man, God's got such a plan for your life. He's got a husband picked out for you, and you are so beautiful in his eyes, and, you know, just really affirming them and who they are, and that's the best thing that you can do for them. So I don't think there's anything wrong with waiting for God's plan. I wouldn't cut her off. I would still pursue that, and I would let her know right off the bat that she's worth pursuing. That'll mean a lot to her. You don't have to pursue her to tell her that she's worth pursuing. Say, you know what, I want you to know that in the future I really want to see something happen in a relationship with you, and I think you're worth pursuing. I think you're beautiful. I think God's got a plan for you, and I think you've got a great personality. And let her know she's worth pursuing, and I bet that'll go a long way.
Right on, man. Yeah, it's interesting. In the email, he says, I don't want to lose her and what we have. It's just hurting me when she doesn't do what's right and hides things from me, isn't that the way it always is with our relationship?
Yeah, welcome to
being a parent. Yeah, right? Well, imagine and think of the parent relationship of our Father in heaven, who's like, dude, I love you so much, and it hurts me when you don't do what is right. It hurts me when you hide things from me. I love you so much. And you're right. Welcome to being a parent, because I have, over the years, I think my parenting has kind of changed. We were talking off air a little bit about it. With Jack, my poor Jack, dude. He was like the tester kid for me. You know what I mean? Thank God for this Shepherding a Child's Heart book, because I didn't know. You know, I grew up without a dad. And so that parent relationship, you know, it's just always frustrating. And then I had to think about the way God disciplines us, and the way God loves us, and the way God shows grace and mercy and compassion for us, and how, as a parent, I need to show those things and not just get frustrated every time they screw up.
Yeah.
So anyways, thank you for the email.
And again, I would just say it to you as well. If you're looking for someone that's never going to let you down, and someone that's never going to do things that they shouldn't do, that's going to bum you out, you're looking on the wrong plane. You need to stop looking horizontally and start looking vertically, because as long as you're looking for that person here on earth, people are always going to let you down. I think that's one thing that I've always seen in my own life, and also in other people's lives, is that people will always let you down. Mankind will always let you down. If you're looking for that perfect person, they don't exist. You're going to be let down. So, you know, you have to a certain point, expect that at some point people are going to bum you out, and they're going to let you down. And that can't be a reason to throw everyone off.
Yeah. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. You're clued into Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O with me, Pastor Nate Heitzig, and we're just here to hang out. We want to get your questions. You can ask them away on Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or, of course, the phone number, if you're so bold, 505-338-3700. And we obviously prefer those, because then we get to hang out and talk back and forth, because sometimes the email questions, we have further questions that we don't get to ask. So give us a call, 505-338-3700. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question kind of about vanity, kind of going with the image question that I guess kind of that you just had. I'm kind of struggling with vanity. Kind of to give you a little backstory, God graced me with two beautiful children, and I took being pregnant seriously. I kind of took it as a sport.
Okay.
I gained a lot of weight. So now I guess I am paying for it in a way. But good thing is, I've recently lost a lot of the weight, and so I'm wondering, I guess, about plastic surgery. And my husband actually made a deal with me, like, a long time ago. He said if I could get the weight off and keep it off, that maybe a tummy tuck would be something that we could talk about. Now, I guess my question is, what does God, think about that?
Okay. What does God think about plastic surgery?
Plastic surgery.
Well, I just want to start out and say God doesn't really say anything about that in the Bible.
Right.
You know, the most basic things we have in the Bible about vanity and about dressing yourself up are in the Old Testament, and a lot of them aren't necessarily applicable to the New Testament. Things like adorning yourself with gold and earrings and different things about clothes. So that's not really applicable to the New Testament, but it doesn't really say anything about plastic surgery. What do you think, Steve-O?
Well, I immediately thought of a friend of ours, a couple, and similar situation where she, you know, they had a couple kids and she felt the same way, and it was so damaging to her self-esteem that she went ahead actually with plastic surgery. And beforehand, we had all talked and we had prayed about it, and you know, because they had asked us the same question. And I got to be honest, I was kind of stumped at first because I hear what you're saying. As a husband of a beautiful wife who's had three beautiful children, I'll tell you what, my wife today is more gorgeous than she was the day I married her. And so for me, I know that my wife is my standard of beauty. Now, so my first question to you is, as far as your husband goes, you know, he said that if you could get the weight off and keep it off, that you guys could talk about a tummy tuck. Have you guys talked extensively about this, and what does he say about it? Is he resigned to that, or is he excited about it? What does he say?
Well, yeah, see, the thing is that I have just recently finally got the weight off.
Okay.
So, yeah, and he's all, you know, down for it. I mean, it's not like, you know, we don't have the money right now. You know, we're not running out to the plastic surgeon, you know, tomorrow or anything. Yeah. So he's, you know, definitely ready for me to do it, you know, and so I don't know how I feel about that, me personally, you know, because as someone being saved, you know, and my husband isn't, unfortunately.
Okay.
So, I don't know how I feel about that.
I gotta be honest. This is a tough one because I immediately am like, man, but you don't need that. And that was the thing I had said to our friend is, but why do you need this? And I just don't feel, my body's not the same. And it's a self-esteem thing. And it's like, okay, but how much do you care about your body? Do you care so much about your self-image that it is almost this idol that you are placing above Christ? Because anything you place above Christ, that's an idol, and that is damaging and that is scary. So you need to examine that first and foremost, because you don't need that. And so that's why I asked about your husband, how he felt about that, because it's a tough situation.
And this is where I would say you don't need it, but there's nothing wrong with you getting it.
Right, right. Because honestly, as far as it goes,
I think through the concept of tattoos too, like, man, I've got some tattoos. I don't need them, but I got them because I like the way they look, and because I feel like it would fall closer to the area of tattoos.
Right. It could even be earrings, makeup, anything you do to quote unquote change your
appearance,
image, your appearance, it would fall in line with that. So I would say it's inherently evil.
Yeah, to a far lesser degree. My wife loves to get her hair dyed. And for me, I'm like, babe, you don't need it. I like your hair the way it is. But if it makes you feel better and you really like it, then go ahead and go for it. You know, I don't find anything wrong with it. So I feel like this is the same thing. Now, I would just say this. There are some people in Hollywood that get addicted to plastic surgery, and then they want to, you know, get a breast augmentation, and they want to get their lips done, and they want to get, you know, facelifts and all this other stuff. And I think that's when it gets to a place where it becomes wrong. But I think if you're struggling with your self-image, you feel like this is going to make you feel prettier, it's going to make you feel more appealing to your husband, it's going to make you, it's going to give you
confidence,
then I think it's something that you go ahead and go for. I've known people, some that are very close to me, that have had cosmetic surgery, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Right.
As long as you've got the right mindset and the right heart behind it.
Yeah, that's it. Examine the heart behind it. Examine the reasons why. Why do you want to do this? What is the gain from this? And as long as this isn't something that you are placing above, you know, well, if I'll do this, I'll have a better relationship with my husband and with God and with these. It can't become this false idol thing of self-image, because that's very scary, you know.
Yes.
And you don't need it. But you're right. I agree with you, Nate. It's not necessarily something where it's like, oh, if you get plastic surgery, you're not saved. You know, I don't think it's something damaging like that. So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and that's what I was, you know, worried about. I didn't, you know, not that I was gonna, you know, get the plastic surgery and then, you know, want more and more and more and more.
Right.
Wondering, I was hoping that, you know, I would get it and then, you know, just make me feel a little better and then, you know.
Now I would say this from an earthly standpoint. Make sure you save up the right amount of money and get the right plastic surgeon, because just like tattoos, I tell anyone who's going to get a tattoo, make sure you get a good artist. Make sure you really think through what you're going to get, because it's on you for the rest of your life. And I have known that there are some plastic surgeons who aren't the best, and they can botch a plastic surgery, and then you're stuck with some kind of a scar or some kind of something else that's worse than the place you were originally at. So make sure if you're going to do it that you save up the money and get it done right by you know the best that you can get. So
don't go to Mexico and see your cousin Tito, because that's not going to work out. All right.
Yeah, probably a bad idea.
Okay, cool.
Does
thank
that
you so
help?
Much.
Right,
hey, thank you for
so
asking
much,
an
guys.
Original question.
Yeah,
we've never
absolutely.
Heard that one before, and
yeah,
I'm glad we got
one.
To answer it.
All right.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks, guys.
All
have
right,
a good one.
You too. 505-338-3700, the phone number. You are listening to Shock Therapy Live. And just when I thought we were out of original questions. But that's the purpose of the show. We want to talk about things that aren't necessarily normally talked about, say, from the pulpit or in youth group, or that's the point of the show. So give us a call. We got to take a quick break. Coming right back, we'll get to your phone calls and your emails. 505-338-3700. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Coming to the Lobo Theater, Tuesday, February 12th, The Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
The Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
The Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, with special guests spoken. Tuesday, February 12th at the Lobo Theater at 7 p.m. Tickets are only $15 in advance, $20 at the door. So get them now at mystaticradio.com.
Connect to a hotspot with Skip Heitzig.
And I know a lot of people who love to rewrite American history want to leave quotes out like one I'm about to give to you. The early part of our nation in 1643, the Constitution of the New England Confederation stated this. Listen to this. Quote, "Whereas we all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, and that is, namely, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity and peace." I dare any politician to say that today and see how far he or she will get with that as an agenda. At one time, that was the national agenda.
Call 1-800-922-1888 for a free teaching by Skip Heitzig, or hear more when you visit skipheitzig.com/hotspots.
Hey, this is Pastor Dave with Agents for Christ, and you're listening to Evangelism Minute. Another legal question believers ask is, if I'm standing in front of a business on a public sidewalk passing out tracts, is that considered loitering? And the answer to that question is no. According to Black's Law Dictionary, loitering is the criminal offense of remaining in a certain place for no apparent reason. Now that's much different than remaining in one place in order to convey a message. The thing to remember is not to be a public nuisance by blocking sidewalks or making it impossible for people to get into the businesses. You have the right as a U.S. citizen to share the gospel in public places, such as sidewalks, streets, and parks. But you've got to make sure that when you do, you're aware of your rights as well as the rights of others, so that you can, by the best of your ability, remain above reproach. For more evangelism resources, go to gottracts.com. That's gottracts.com. And remember, be bold, share your faith.
Shock Therapy Live, Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
All right. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, girl.
Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out with you and taking your phone calls, 505-338-3700. We got to get to another one of these email questions, but first, let's go back to the phone lines. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
You're on air.
Hi.
What's your question?
This is weird. I have my radio going and then the
phone.
Turn it down.
Turn it down, girl.
Okay, it's down.
You're going to confuse yourself.
Okay, so I was going off of the earlier conversation about plastic surgery.
Okay.
And I was just interested about, like, body modifications. Like, I understand tattoos and, like, where you go with tattoos. Like, would you apply that to all body modifications? Because there's some weird stuff out there. Like...
Some stuff that you just don't understand?
Do you think there's a specific line? I don't know. There's a lot out there. Like, I've seen implants, and I've seen, like not plastic surgery implants, like putting stuff in your skin.
Right, like the devil. Yeah. I've seen the little horns.
Yeah, I don't think that's okay.
I just think it's weird. I think with everything, you have to look at the heart attitude. Because for me, I'll tell you right now, I actually used to have my nose pierced. In fact, on our old Shock Therapy Live little billboard thingy, there was a photo of that. And we got crap for it. Remember, we got hate mail because I had my nose pierced. And the funny thing is I got my nose pierced because back in the Old Testament, back in the day, it was mostly ladies. But they would get their nose pierced as this form of ownership because these bond servants would get their nose pierced. And back when I first, started really walking,
you were owned by Joey.
I'm owned by Christ.
Oh, okay.
I am a bond servant of Christ. And I am owned by him. And that's the reasoning behind it. That was why I got my nose pierced. But people freaked out. And some people didn't like it, and it didn't matter the motivation behind it. It didn't matter the heart behind it. All they cared was, I'm a grown man with my nose pierced, and that's lame.
Yeah.
And that's disgusting, and you can't be a Christian and have your nose pierced. And it was a weird commentary on things because the heart behind it truly was, I'm a bondservant of Christ, and this is how I chose to do that.
Yeah. I think again, we have to talk about, this is my issue with tattoos or anything of the sort. Number one, what is the content of it? So, you know, if someone gets a tattoo of a naked demon, that's not cool. That's not good. You can't say, oh, well, it's all lawful and all this stuff. No. Yeah. So I think people who get like those weird implants have like devil horns or things like that, or they want to make themselves look like a monster. That's weird. And I don't think that that's necessarily good. But
it all comes back to the heart of it.
Yeah. But we're talking about piercings and things like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I think it can get to a certain point where people start piercing every single spot in their body. It becomes an addiction more than it does a desire of the way that they're going to look, because a lot of what they're getting people are never going to see. And I don't know that there's any that can be justified biblically. I think that can become an addiction.
Yeah.
So again, it's one of those hard things because kind of as Paul says, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. And I think there comes a certain point with body modification that you have to ask the question: how is this profitable for
me? Right? Can you do it? Sure.
Yeah.
Should you? That's a better question.
Yeah. Should you? That's the ultimate question.
So does that help?
Okay. And kind of. It's just, you know, where to draw the line and making sure. I guess that the heart's in the right place because, there's not like a biblical reason like, oh, I like you with your nose piercing. It's not that good. Like, I don't
necessarily
to be closer to God, but like, you know, you just like how it looks and you're not trying to idolize it, but it's just where do you draw the line?
Well,
like,
you know,
are becoming addicted.
The funny thing is now I don't have it pierced, but I miss it. And recently I was talking about it with my wife and said, you know what? I kind of want to get my nose pierced again. This is the reasoning behind it. This is why I want to do it. And my wife looked at me and with all the love in her heart and said, that's stupid. I didn't like it when you had your nose pierced. And I said, okay. Oh. And because of that, my wife is my wife, you know, and my body is not my own. And so because my wife did not find that attractive, flat out, it was like, you know what? Cool. That's all I needed. And so I'm not going to get my nose pierced.
Yeah, and I would ask you this question. Who are you trying to draw the line for, yourself or for someone else?
For myself.
Okay. And what is it that you want to get done?
I don't know. I got my belly button pierced, and it caused a lot of problems in my family. Like, my parents were so not okay with it, like, at all. Like, I didn't think they'd have that reaction, otherwise I wouldn't have done it, because I didn't mean to be disrespectful towards them. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think it'd be a big deal. So I got that done, but then I just started thinking, like, you know, even when I wear a swimsuit, I wear a tankini. I was like, no one's ever going to see it. So I started questioning why I got it, and, like, it was it wrong for me to go out and get it? Like, and, you know, I was just curious about that.
Now, do you live at home with your parents?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. So we talked it out. We're good.
Okay.
My mom was just mad that I didn't address her first about
totally.
It.
Totally. Mm. Well, so there's the first thing. Anytime you live at home with your parents, you want to make sure that you're getting their permission. But on that subject, you know, I have some tattoos that aren't visible. They're under my shirt and you can't see them. And it could be used the same thing. Well, no one's ever going to see it. Why did I get it? And really it boiled down to the reason I got it is because I liked it. It's something that mm-hmm. I liked, something that
it's
I liked,
meaning.
But at the same time, something I didn't want to show everybody all the time,
right.
But I liked for myself and for the people that I did want to show it to, I could show it to. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And same thing with getting your belly button pierced or getting, you know, your nose pierced or your lip pierced or anything else like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but with it, you've got to make sure that you can justify it. And that if someone asks you, why do you get it pierced, that you can justify it and you don't have to say, well, you know, that's a good point. I don't know why I did it. You know, if
right.
you're going to get it, make sure that you can say, I got it because I liked it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, so make sure that you can justify it in your own mind and before God, because you're the one that the Holy Spirit's speaking to, and you've got to answer that question for yourself. So
does that help you out?
Okay. Yes, thank you.
You're
right,
welcome. Thank
day.
You.
Bye.
505-338-3700 is the phone number, or, of course, facebook.com.
Yeah,
we got
a Facebook question if we want to answer that.
All right. We got a couple anonymous email questions, too, we can get to. But we got about half an hour.
Okay.
So you go.
We got a question on Facebook. It says, we actually got a few questions. If you're called to be a pastor, but you struggle with sexual sin, how do you overcome it? Good question.
That's a fantastic question.
I would say you overcome it like you overcome any other sin.
Yeah.
With accountability, with prayer, with devotion. And I've always said that the best defense is a good offense. So if you want to overcome sin in your life, the best thing you can do is make sure that your walk with Christ is as strong as it possibly can be. And I truly believe that when we're walking with God, it's really hard for us to stop and start walking backwards. You know, I think through what Psalm 1 says, that those who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, those who not nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, to fall into sin requires a conscious effort of a slow, deliberate lapse in walking with God. And
yeah.
What I mean by that is no one wakes up one morning walking with God, going to church, loving Jesus Christ, called to ministry, and says, you know what? I'm going to get someone pregnant. I'm going to get AIDS today, and I'm going to overdose on cocaine. No one does that and wakes up one morning and does it all at once. It's,
right.
You know, people who end up in that position, it's a slow, calculated move backwards where
right.
first they're walking with God, then they stop, then they're standing, then they sit, and then they're just fully immersed in sin. So if you feel called to be in ministry, then show it. You know, walk with Christ, pursue Him, make sure that your offense is as good as you possibly can, make sure your quiet times and your personal devotions. I truly believe that personal devotions are the biggest thing to overcoming and conquering sin. I think it's really hard to live a double life.
Yeah.
It's easy to do it in front of people, but it's really hard to do it by yourself. So, you know, if you're sinning, it's really hard to sit down every morning and have quiet time. And
right.
You really can't do it. So
yeah.
If your personal devotions are on fire with God, it's really hard to find yourself immersed in sin.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you said the accountability. Accountability partners are huge,
huge,
man.
Yeah.
But you got to find someone. You got to be completely honest. You get that unshockable listener that you can go to who will still smack you around if you're acting like a fool. However, who will be that unshockable listener that you feel comfortable with saying, you know, sharing the everything, and pray about that. Because, you know, I know some people love to shout their sin from the rooftops into everybody who will listen. And sometimes that can be more damaging than it can be helpful. So you find that accountability partner who will come alongside you, another dude, another group of dudes, because as a man, men will struggle with that. Sexual sin, that's a very scary thing. I would recommend grabbing a book called Every Man's Battle that deals man, digs in deep with that issue and talks about ways of overcoming that specific sin.
And there's another really great one by Warren Wiersbe, and it's called Satan and His Tactics, I think is what it's called.
Oh, okay.
And it's all about
the Strategy of Satan.
The Strategy of Satan. There
Love
you go.
That. Yes.
Strategy of Satan by Warren Wiersbe, and it's a fantastic book.
Yeah.
It really talks, especially if you're wanting to go into ministry, it's helpful for people who are in ministry because it will target the fact and the ways in which Satan wants to destroy you, how he wants to sift you, and the things that he's going to use in your life in order to do that. And that's a really great book that can kind of build up the walls of your life.
There you go. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Joshua, thank you so much for the Facebook question. Static Radio, hello.
I do a ministry here in Albuquerque and a local church, and I just had a opinion on the bar tattoos and stuff. My opinion was just that, I recently, I spent quite a time in prison and, put tattoos on and, you know, I did them, you know, for my personal reasons, but I also saw how, you know, it affected my life in a bad way. And it wasn't until I became a Christian and I read the Bible that I learned that a lot of things that, like Paul said, that although it's out here in the world, it's not good for us as Christians. And so today I see how it affects a lot of young people. It's not that it's not good or bad. I just think that a lot of times we get into things that we really don't have any business doing. And it affects us in the long run, like the young girl talking about the ring on her stomach or the tattoos. You know, I mean, everybody has their opinion to do what they want to do. But to me, I just feel like that's the reason why today we have so many problems with young people committing crimes, especially with what's going on today in Albuquerque. I just feel like I think as adults, we need to stand up and show God more in our lives. Not that it's okay, but that as Christians, we need to set a standard higher than the world. And until we do that, you know, I really believe that we're going to continue to see children hurt, children doing these crimes. I mean, just a number of things that are just our ethics and our morals are falling apart. So my opinion to that young girl is I commend her for her courage and for her seeing that it was something that hurt her family. It's something that she now is thinking over. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit speaking to her and telling her, you know what, you need to draw the line. And for being as young as she is, I hope she draws the line there and chooses to let the rest of her life honor God in the best way she can, because tattoos, earrings, and that. Your body is beautiful. You honor God, and He created you like that for that purpose. And I believe that's the greatest testimony to tell somebody that, you know what, I don't need to do anything out there in the world that the world is doing or what they like. My body is it's a temple of God, and I'm going to honor Him with it the way He gave it to me.
You know what, and I got to tell you right now, I agree with you 100% with what you just said, that our body is a temple of God, because Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians, and what he is talking about there is sexual immorality.
Yes.
And that our bodies are a temple, and you're right, I agree that we do need to set higher standards. I wouldn't necessarily say that it has to be something cultural like tattoos or piercings. I would say if we're going to set a higher standard, let's go out into the community and let's make a difference in people's lives. Let's love one another. Let's go out and let's be charitable. Let's go out and let's help feed the homeless. Let's go out and let's do something. Let's go out and build a fence for a neighbor. Let's go out and be charitable and Christ-like. And I agree. We do need to set a higher standard. I don't think the clothing you wear, I don't think the gym you go to make your body look different, because at the end of the day, whether it's tattoos, piercings, or even working out at the gym, you could say, you know, my body was created this way, so I'm just going to be chubby.
Or again, getting your hair dyed, or cutting your hair for that matter, or putting makeup on. You know, it's a really slippery road to go down and say that we shouldn't do things that make us look different.
But I do think we do need to live according to a different standard, and that starts with selflessness. Especially when you look at Romans 12, where it talks about presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, not conforming to the patterns of the world, which are greed, lust, arrogance, pride, all these other things that we need to remove from our lives. And so you're right. We should have a different standard. The phone number is 505-338-3700. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. We got an anonymous email this morning. And if you would like to send an email, it's studio@mystaticradio.com. He says, hey, guys, for as long as I can remember, I've been afraid of dying. I've been walking with the Lord since 98, active in my church and active in reading my Bible, not as much as I probably should be. The point I'm trying to make is I'm plugged in. I know where I'm going when I pass on from this body, and I'm stoked about it. But every time I think about the actual dying part of it, I have an anxiety attack. Even as I type this up, my hands are shaking like a wet chihuahua. So my question is, are there any books, podcasts, verses, or anything you can recommend to help calm my nerves? Dude, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I dealt with this myself. I had a very serious, solid few months where I was struggling because I hadn't had to face death, and it seemed like at that time around me, friends, people I loved, people I knew had passed away, and the idea of that was very, very, very scary to me. In fact, it's something that hits very close to home even now on this campus. And so it can be a very scary thing.
And I want to say this, too. I don't think there's anything wrong with being scared to die. And what I mean by that is that I don't think it makes you any less Christian, you know, to say, oh, well, I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm scared to die. I don't think there's
that
anything.
That part stings.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, death still can be a scary thing. And even though we don't fear the afterlife, we can fear the actual process of dying. There's nothing wrong with that. Should we let that dictate our lives? No. But is there anything wrong with being scared of it? No, there's not. And I think number one, we need to have a realistic view of what heaven's going to be like. And I think a lot of people, and I've heard this before, they think that for some reason, because every worship leader says this when people aren't engaged in their worship, hey, you guys need to get into this because this is what we're going to be doing in heaven forever. And a lot of people think, oh, man, so heaven's going to be me worshiping 24-7 to like a worship leader that I don't really like,
right?
You know? And so I think we need to, number one, understand what heaven's going to be like and look at a realistic view of what the Bible says heaven's going to be like. And just so you know, it doesn't say that we're going to be sitting around like in a 24-7 worship service all
in a row
all day long for eternity. So I think we need to understand that. And then I think number two, we need to understand that death comes for everybody. And again, it's okay to be scared about it, but it's not okay to be worried about it and let it dictate our lives. And you need to understand this. At some point, you're going to die. That could be tomorrow, or that could be 15 years from now, or that could be, you know, 60 years from now. We don't know. So you need to understand that it's coming, but at the same time, not fret about it and not be worried about it. You know, I think through those people that have a package coming in the mail, they don't know when it's going to arrive. There's some people who just wait for it, and when it comes, it comes. And there's other people who worry about it. They obsess about it. They want to check the tracking number every day. They want to, you know, figure out exactly when it's going to be at their doorstep, and they want to receive it as the person comes off and delivers it. And so I don't think we want to obsess over death of when it's going to come, but it's okay to be fearful for it. And I think a good way to conquer that is to not immerse yourself in it, but be around it. And I think through the fact that having been to so many funerals as a pastor, having been to so many memorial services as a pastor, having been around death, having been to hospital beds and visited people, it has to a certain extent prepared me for death, because you learn there's a right way and a wrong way to die. And you can truly die well. And so I think being around death to a certain degree prepares you for death, and it prepares you to die the right way instead of the wrong way. And so I think that, you know, find opportunities to go to funerals, find opportunities to be around it, and not deaden yourself to it, but prepare yourself for it and see it and realize the reality of what it is, and that it's not as scary, as you might think. It's not as scary as you, have visioned in your mind. And then from that point, trust God and trust God with the rest.
Right. Absolutely. I think of multiple verses that helped me, when I was struggling, when I was dealing with this. One comes from Matthew chapter 10, and it talks about, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. And whenever that comes to an end, it's not going to surprise God. It's not going to shock God. And we are not given to a spirit of fear, as it says in the book of Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so if you're constantly dwelling on death, if you're constantly, as you said, just obsessed with this, it will consume you. And man, I remember what changed my heart, my attitude about it, because I was stoked. My father before me and many family members who have died, who are, I believe, staring at the face of Jesus Christ even now in heaven. It still was scary for me to think about the thought of death. Now, I was stoked to be where I'm going to go because, man, I cannot wait to stare at the face of Jesus. And one thing that really helped me, was this. And, you know, it's kind of personal. It's just an emotional thing for me. But, I thought about the fact that Jesus, God is love.
Yeah.
He is love incarnate. He is love. And I think about how amazing it was to see my wife for the first time and that cutesy little butterfly feeling I got. And as our relationship grew and as our love grew, the feelings I have for my wife. Now, these are emotions, these are feelings, and sometimes they are fleeting and we can forget these. But I think about the love that I have for my wife and it swells up in my heart right now. And that is nothing compared to the love that we are going to feel in the presence of love.
Yeah.
It's going to be this overwhelming emotion of pure love. It's going to be the most unfathomable thing. And right now with our little finite brains, we cannot fathom the infinite, but that's okay. You know, to not be overcome with that, to not be, so caught up in it that you become fearful. I would just dig into the word. And as you said, dig into what it's really going to be like.
Yeah. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with being scared of it.
Yeah.
Jesus was scared of death.
Yeah.
When he was in the garden, he said, Lord, if this cup can pass from me,
there's any
let
other
it be
way.
So, but, if not, let your will be done. I mean, it said that he was sweating great drops of blood. There was anxiety over the impending death that was coming to him. And I think through the fact of anything in life, you know, if you're going to get a cavity removed, you know it needs to get done, but you're scared of the process of getting it done. Or even, you know, we're talking about tattoos, you know, you can be excited for the end result, but man, you don't want that pain and you're kind of scared of the pain. And so, but I just want to encourage you in this. The Bible says, death, where is your sting? Hell, where is your victory?
Yeah.
And death has no sting for the believer. That it might hurt temporarily, but there's no lasting sting after that. That once you die, man, the best has just begun.
Yeah.
You know, so it's something that we as believers truly can come to a place where we look forward to it. Not like, oh man, I can't wait to die. But, you know, we look forward to our being with Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. The phone number is 505-338-3700. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig. And we'll continue to take the phone calls right up until the top of the hour, so get them in. You can also email us anonymously if you'd like to keep it anonymous. If it's something personal, we understand, and we will respect that and keep it anonymous. You can email us at studio@mystaticradio.com. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Hey, first off, hey, thanks for doing this. This is, I don't know, it's really cool. It was sad that whenever you guys stopped doing it for a little while, but I'm glad you're back.
Right on.
Thank you.
Glad to be back.
I wanted to touch base on that last subject. Live forgiven. You're not guaranteed another moment on this earth.
Right.
Another thing was, I have a real problem, say, communication with my wife. Talking about feelings and emotions and things like that. And just growing up, I don't know, I just turned everything down. You know, I went to drugs, smoked a lot of pot, and just really grew numb inside. Mm. And it's starting to affect my marriage. It's, you know, I have a hard time talking about things that matter to me. And you know, if I'm upset about something, if she says something or does something, or I don't agree with something that's going on with the kid or something, you know, I hold it inside and just, that's fine, whatever. I mean, I guess it's a good thing, but it's really starting to affect the marriage where, you know, I'm not speaking my mind. And it's bothering her that, you know, it says one flesh in the Bible, and we're having a hard time becoming that one flesh.
Hmm.
But do you guys have any suggestions on how I can, you know, dig deeper and talk about my emotions and things like that?
Yeah, well, my question back is, are they things that are consuming you internally that are too difficult to talk about, or are you really just kind of apathetic and like, I don't really have deep thoughts or cares about this, so moving on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I'm pretty much apathetic.
Okay.
Don't really let a whole lot of things bother me or get to me. It's just let it roll off my back like a duck in the water.
Yeah. I would say then you just bite the bullet and you talk about it, because although you might not really care about the subjects, you care about your wife, and so you do it because you care about her, not necessarily because you care about the emotions or the things that you're feeling. And I think that, and I don't think that needs to be something drawn out, but I think that it's really good. You know, my wife and I have a weekly time that we call coffee time, and what that means is we come together once a week without the kids, either at a coffee shop or at our own house when they're down for a nap, and we just talk about what's going on in our lives, about what we've experienced that week, and she'll ask me how I'm doing with things, and I'll tell her, and you know, really it's more her talking and letting her express how she's feeling and me being able to talk to her about that. And there's a few great ways to do that. We do something that is called I forget what it's called, but basically what you do is she'll tell me, hey, I have a message to send, and I'll say, okay, and then she has to tell me within one sentence what she's feeling or what's going on in her life, and then I can say, okay, so what I hear you saying is, and then I repeat it back to her in different words, but I repeat back to her what she's just said to me and what I perceive her to be saying, and then I say, is that correct? And then she can respond and say yes or no, and then I can say, okay, I have a message to send, and, you know, when you do this, it makes me feel this way, or this is going on in my life right now and it makes me feel this way. And then she gets a chance to repeat it back to me. But it's a really good exercise that you can communicate to one another and express to one another how you're feeling in short, succinct sentences, so it doesn't go on and on and on and you're left saying, well, I don't understand what you're saying. You know, and it's quick and easy. But it's something you just got to do. You know, our wives want to be communicated with. And especially, I felt this as a pastor. My wife's at home all day with kids and I'm here at work and I'm doing ministry and I'm doing this and that. And sometimes I just want to come home and sit on the couch and not talk about it. But I forget that my wife isn't involved in that. And she wants to know what's going on at church. She wants to know what's going on. She wants to ask questions. And I have to do it not because I want to do it, but because I want her to be involved in my life. I don't want to push her out of my life. And I want her to feel like she's included and she's a part of my ministry and what God's doing in my life. And you know, even some of the difficult things that happen at work, I want her to be a part of that. So I think it's good to have that communication line open.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. I was a very callous individual. It's funny. I grew up with a single mom, and so I'm kind of the opposite, where it's always like emotional and it was always about me. And so I could talk all day long about my crappy day and everything that sucked, but then when somebody else was trying to communicate back to me, it was like in one ear and out the other, because I'm like, oh yeah, but that's the thing. I don't really care about anybody else's day. I just, you know, wanted to complain about mine. And so I had to stop and come to a place where I was like, you know what? Before I even say anything about my day, I want to know about my wife's day. I want to know what's going on with her. And I'm going to actually be attentive to that and take inventory and kind of write things down. And there are times where I have to stop what I'm doing, because I know if I'm playing a video game or if I'm doing anything else, chances are I can't really give my full attention. So I like your idea of coffee, of like the coffee time.
And it's got to be something you plan. It's something you do, because if you truly care about this relationship, you're going to make time for that relationship, and you're going to make time for the things that are going to make her happy and please her, just like anything else in life. If there's something you treasure and something you value, you make time for it. So you just got to do it. You know, whether you want to or not, you just got to do it, because it's the right thing to do.
And I would say also on that, explain these things to your wife, that, you know, because I think sometimes when men stare off blankly and a woman asks, hey, what are you thinking? And a man says, nothing. They think you're hiding something because they just can't fathom you not thinking about anything, when the truth is there are times where we're just staring off into space, not thinking about anything.
Yeah.
And so I think that sitting down and explaining, like, I care about what's going on. I just don't have these deep, heavy emotions about what happened on Grey's Anatomy last night. I'm sorry, you know, like, and it's okay. You don't have to make up elaborate stories about, feelings. Don't feel like you're less of a human being because you don't have deep feelings about everything, because that's okay too.
Yeah. And you know,
but just make that aware, you know.
And I have found that sometimes it's hard to find where your emotions and your feelings come from. And, but that's why it can be helpful to have a wife in your life, because yeah, they can point out those things and make you think about those things that you normally don't think about. And I've found that my wife has really helped me with that in a lot of ways, that, you know, there'll be times in a movie where something will happen that will just bring tears to my eyes. And she says, well, why does that make you cry? And my initial response is, I don't know. Just emotional. And then she really makes me stop and think about it. Like, no, really, why does that make you cry? And I have to stop and think about it. And I have to really look into my heart.
Back
and I know that
I
sounds so lame. But it really is good. And God puts people in our lives to help us see things about us and see things within us that we might not normally see. And so I think that you view that as a gift from the Lord, and you oblige your wife and you try to please your wife in that area.
Yeah. And the sad news is that scripture that says the two become one flesh, it doesn't say that the two have become one mind. So you really do need to communicate, because
yeah,
God didn't connect your brains when you got married. So yeah, chances are you don't know what she's thinking. She doesn't know what you're thinking. And communication is the number one most important factor in any relationship.
Yeah. And I found if there's one thing that's true about wives, you can never over communicate ever. You could literally, like, I find that I could literally call my wife every 5 minutes and tell her exactly what I'm doing, and she'd be totally okay with that, and
yeah,
say, well, why didn't you call me every minute instead of every 5 minutes? So,
yeah,
you know, you can never over communicate. So, you know, try as best as you can to communicate with your wife.
Does that help you out, man?
Thank you, fellas. That's some real good advice.
Right on, man.
All
have
right,
a great
man.
Day.
God bless.
Thank you, you too.
All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number. We only have a couple minutes. I thought I would maybe get to another one of the anonymous emails real quick.
Oh, last one, huh?
Yeah. Hey there, Nate and Steve. Just started my first semester of college, and one of my teachers often brings up Christianity. Most of the time, however, it's in a negative light. She says that the quote-unquote character of Jesus was more of a myth just to inspire people because he was such a radical revolutionary. Most of the other students agree with this, but as a Christian, I don't believe he's a myth. I know I shouldn't just sit by, but how do I go about bringing up what I believe and why?
Yeah. I would say one of the best things that you can do is find some great books on apologetics and load yourself up with good facts, with good information, and equip yourself. There's some great ones out there by Josh McDowell, by Sean McDowell. There's some great ones by Ravi Zacharias, by Lee Strobel. Again, some really great books. A Case for Christ is a fantastic book by Lee Strobel that could really help you out. I'd pick up some of those. A Case for Christ, The Case for the Creator. There's some great books on the inerrancy and the authenticity of the scripture, which is some great things to go by, because that's really the key to our belief in not just the character of Christ, but in the acts of Christ, in the deity of Christ, is the authenticity of the scripture. That there's no book in the entire world that has as many manuscripts to back it up, that has as much authenticity behind it. So it truly is the most authentic book that we can find. And so I would say pick up some books on that subject.
Yeah.
Equip yourself, read them, get the knowledge that you need, and then what, because you don't want to just go in there and stand, you know, if you stand up and say, there's nothing wrong with this, by the way, if you stand up and say, hey, I'm a Christian, I disagree with you, you're going to put a huge target on your back, and you're going to find even more so that everything that teacher says and the people in that class say are going to be targeted towards you. And so it's okay to put a target on your back, but I think it's good to be equipped before you do that so you can stand firm on what you believe. And you don't want to be that Christian who says, I believe it, but you never have anything to back it up, because then it just makes Christians look like idiots.
Right.
So you want to be able to back up on what you believe. So that's what I would say on that.
The Case for Christ is the first book I thought of, actually, because it really, it's one of those books where, hey, this guy set out to disprove, and in turn, you have so many sources within that book to cite the foundational truth of Jesus Christ as a human being, as the savior of the world. I agree. All right, we got like 30 seconds. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hi, it's Nay.
Hi.
Hey, babe.
Hey. Huh. Sorry he hasn't called you this hour. He hasn't called you this hour. He's been on the air, so.
Yeah, right. Well, I was going to call in regards to the gentleman that was talking about communicating.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of like him in the sense that I bottle things up at times.
Yeah.
And you just let it, you kind of put it behind you. But I feel like that builds up resentment. So my encouragement would be, even the little things, you kind of just need to communicate, even though you don't think they matter, because the resentment builds up in your heart, and then you don't want to communicate at all, and then it kind of makes a big gap between your relationship. So, yeah.
From a wife's perspective, too, which is good.
Yeah.
Thanks, babe. What are you doing?
All right.
What are you doing?
Really?
What are you doing?
You can't call her in 40 seconds?
I do every day. I'm taking care of the kids.
How do you feel, though?
Oh, man.
How do I feel? I feel good.
That's good. That's good. Janae, I love you. Thank you for calling in and putting up with this guy on a daily basis.
Right?
Yeah.
Love you guys.
All right. Love you,
love
too.
Love you, too, babe.
Janae. So that's our show.
Yeah, dude. That was fun.
Another Wednesday in the books. We do this every single Wednesday at 9 a.m. If you missed any part of Shock Therapy Live, you can catch it Sunday evening, 7 p.m., part of Static U. And I apologize if we couldn't get to all the Facebook or email questions. We had phone calls the whole time, which means call us. 505-338-3700. Throw it in your speed dial and hopefully catch us this next Wednesday, 9 a.m., that is it for us.
Yes.
Find the podcast at mystaticradio.com. You can download all of our past episodes where we talk about everything.
Yep.
All right, man.
Cool. We love you guys.
Yeah. Thanks for everybody calling in.
Stay awesome.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.